I'd like to read to you today from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their range. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, He shall not see our last end. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedst, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they've called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Look again at verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedst, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I'd like to preach to you today on the subject, if footmen tire you, what will horses do? If footmen tire you, what will horses do? I've been preaching now for some nearly 20 years, and there has never been a message in all my days that's gotten hold of me like this message, which the Lord's dealt with my heart about for the last 4 months. I've stayed awake at night. It's troubled me in my sleep because I believe there is no other message that I've ever run across that deals with America today as this chapter in Jeremiah. If you note the background of this statement in Jeremiah chapter 12, you'll note that it was in a time when Jeremiah was preaching to the people of Anathoth, and the people of Anathoth said, "We will not have this kind of preaching." They said, "Jeremiah, we don't want it." In fact, they said, "We'll kill you. We'll put you out of business." And Jeremiah told the Lord what they said. And the Lord sent word back for Jeremiah to go tell them. He said, "You tell the men of Anathoth that seek your life that the Lord has said, I will punish them. Tell them their young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them." Jeremiah went and told them exactly what God told him to tell them. But afterwards, he came back and said, "Now, Lord, said I, there's no question in my mind about the fact of you being a righteous God. I know that you're righteous. I know that your ways are perfect." But he said, "Lord, I've got a complaint to make to you." He said, "There's something I don't quite understand." He said, "How come it is that the people out here, like the men of Anathoth, who are not trying to serve you, people who are not interested in doing things for you, how come it is, Lord, that they prosper? They make money. Their lives are without trouble, without struggle. Everything seems to be coming their way." In fact, he said, "Lord, you seem to have planted them. You've given them root. And yet, Lord, they take your name in vain. They desecrate your day. They desecrate your word. And yet, Lord, on the other hand, here I am trying to serve you with all my heart. Everything within me I'm giving to serve you. I've given up home. I've given up possessions. I've given up everything that I might follow you. And Lord, I'm having a hard time. Folks are trying to disturb me. Folks are trying to hurt me on every side." He said in so many words, "Lord, would you please let the pressure up?" I wonder if you feel like that today. You and I are living in a day when many folks are taken out on God, when many folks no longer serve God. I wonder if you've come like Jeremiah and say, "Lord, how much longer must we be under this kind of pressure?" How much longer, Lord, must we suffer in this way? Then if so, I want you to listen to God's answer to Jeremiah. God said to Jeremiah, there are two illustrations I want to use to you. He said, first, Jeremiah, I want to say to you that you are like a man running a race with some other men who are footmen. And they are all lined up in a race. And Jeremiah, all of the other footmen have outrun you. You're dragging the tail end of the line right now. And Jeremiah, as you're just about to faint and about to pass out, alongside of you comes a man on a horse. The Lord said, Jeremiah, if you can't keep up with these footmen that have outrun you, how will you be able to stand up when a man on a horse comes along to race with you? And said, Jeremiah, I want to use another illustration. He said, Jeremiah, if you're tired out now in a land of peace, in a land of quietness, what will you do when the Jordan swells over? You know what he meant by that statement? That when the Jordan River swelled over, the water out of the Jordan River went out into the thickets where the lions live. And the lions, who had been used to getting their livelihood and their life out in the jungle, out in the thickets, had to leave the thickets and go up on the highland and endanger the lives of the people up there. God said, Jeremiah, for your information, you're living in a land of peace and quietness now. Things are not nearly so bad as they shall be. But Jeremiah, how will you do, what can you do, when the lion comes up out of the thicket? And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, today, if you and I can't run with the footmen that are running against us today, what will we do when the communists take over, when they run our land down and destroy it? God said to Jeremiah, for your information, things have not nearly gotten as bad as they're going to get. In fact, God said, I've forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. In fact, God said in verse 12, the spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. God said, Jeremiah, for your information, I will tear up the land from one end of the country to the other end of the country. He was talking about his chosen people. He was talking about the nation of Israel. And God said, Jeremiah, the reason I'll do it is because no man lays it to heart. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what shall happen in America today if no man lays it to heart. But I want us to look in the first place what God said to Jeremiah about the footman and the horseman. There are a bunch of footmen today running against you in behalf of your children, in behalf of your home, in behalf of your church. And I want to ask you in the first part of this message, are you weary of running with the footmen? Are you tired of running with the footmen that are out to destroy your children, that are out to destroy your home, that are out to destroy your churches? I want us to look, first of all, in behalf of your children. Are you tired of the race? Are you tired of with the footmen that are trying to get your children? If I ask you today what you want for your children, most every person listening to me no doubt would say, Preacher, the first thing I want to be sure of is that my children are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. I want them to be born again. And the second thing I want them to do is to live a Christian life. I want them to have some purpose for life. I want them to make a contribution in the world in which they're living. I want them to come to the marriage altar pure and virtuous and well able to be a blessing to society. That's what I want out of my children. Well, my friend, I wonder if you recognize what happened to American boys during the days of the Korean conflict. Something happened that has never happened in the history of America. It didn't happen in 1776. It didn't happen in 1812. It didn't happen in 1917. And it did not happen in 1941, but it happened in the 50s. What's that? When the American boys were captured in the Korean conflict, one out of every three American boys turned into a communist. But not one person captured from the country of Turkey turned into a communist. What's happened that caused one out of every three boys to become a communist and not one out of the Turkish soldier to become a communist? Something's happened to our children in America. Something's happened. You know what it is, ladies and gentlemen? There have been turned loose in the past 15 and 20 and 30 years in America some footmen that are dead set on destroying your children, footmen that were not alive, are not active in my daddy's day and in your daddy's day, in my father's day. These footmen were not loose. For instance, in my father's day, the things he was taught at his mother's knee,
The same thing he was taught at church and the same thing he was taught at the school. In my daddy's day, they had the McGuffey Reader to teach them and to instruct them. And sometime back, I got a copy of the McGuffey Reader. The McGuffey Reader is a set of 6 reader books that was the basis for the American school child's first 6 years for the past 100 years until about the year 1915 and 1916. These school books were the basis of America for the past 100 years. These are the kind of stories found in the McGuffey Reader. In the McGuffey Reader, 1 out of every 4 stories is a Bible story or is based on the Bible. The McGuffey Readers train your children, or train the children of their day, to respect God's day. Listen, one of the stories is entitled, Respect for the Sabbath is Rewarded. Children were taught at home, if they'd honor God's day, they'd be rewarded by God. They were taught that in the church, and when they came to school, they were taught that. In the home, they were taught to control their temper. When they came to school, the McGuffey Reader had stories, Control Your Temper. They were taught at home it's wrong to drink. They were taught at school it was wrong to drink. Listen to the title of some subjects. The Folly of Intoxication. Beware of the First Drink. I could go on and on. Practically every story in the McGuffey Reader was a Bible story or based on the Bible and had a moral teaching. Just a few weeks ago, I went to the school that's nearest to the house where I live. I got all the readers from the 1st to the 6th grade. And I found out as I read 2,500 pages, not one story based on the Bible, not one story with a moral or character teaching to it. The stories today in the schoolroom are stories that are some Jack and the Beanstalk stuff, something of the men of Mars going to invade this country, some Frankenstein monsters to terrorize your children in the night. The school system, ladies and gentlemen, are footmen running loose against your children and my children today. Not only that, in my father's day, children were taught to be patriotic, to love their country, to stand for the United States of America. Not in the schoolroom today. They are taught that the United Nations is more important than the United States. They are taught patriotism toward a one world government. Not only that, the school children are not teaching your boys and girls today integrity and honesty and work as the means by which to make a living in society. Always, the squirrel has been considered as an animal very industrious, an animal that gathered his nuts in the summertime in order that in the wintertime he'd have some nuts when the snow was on the ground. But in 1956, in a first grade reader entitled Our New Friends, published by Scott Forsman and Company, notice the date, 1956, this version of the squirrel story appeared. In this story, the squirrel played all summer long. And when the first snow of winter fell, he suddenly realized he didn't have any nuts. So he said, what can I do? Then he remembered that a little boy by the name of Bobby, who lived in a white house on the hill, had visited his nut tree that summer and had gotten some of his nuts. He went to the White House on the hill, gave a squirrel call, the door opened, and out rolled a nut. The moral to that story is, if you want something, go to the White House on the hill and ask for it. Ladies and gentlemen, 11 years later, which would have been last summer, these first grade boys and girls in 1956 did that in America. And they said, you'll give it to us or we'll burn your country down. Where'd they learn it? Back in the school books in 1956. What am I saying? The school today in its teaching is not for God. It's running against the things you're trying to teach your children about God. It's evolution from beginning to end. But not only the school system. The television programs are running after your children today. They're dead set in outrunning you, bringing your children down to a character that was not taught by you and which you do not want them to have. I wonder how many of your boys and girls have as a major hero the man named Tarzan on television. He's the hero of most boys and girls. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, Tarzan is 5'6" undressed. He doesn't have much clothes on. And every boy and girl feels to be a hero, they got to pull their clothes off. Not only that, I wonder how many of you saw the Doc Tarry program in October 1967. This is a program that children all over America watch because of the animals there. Yet notice what Doc Tarry said. He made the statement, you give enough monkeys, enough typewriters, and enough time, and one of them will eventually come up with a King James Version of the Bible or the works of Shakespeare. Did you hear that? They said your Bible that you read and study in church and at home. They tell your children it's monkey business. Even a monkey could produce the King James Version of the Bible. Are you willing to let the television get your children? Are you willing to get let the liquor crowd have your children? They tell us now that by the time children finish high school, 75% already are drinking. Are you willing to throw in the towel and say to the recreation crowd, to the television crowd, to the school crowd, you can have my children. I don't care if you stay out after 11 o'clock. I don't care if you run around to the dancers. Just go ahead. Are you tired of trying to push the enemy back in behalf of your children? If you are, ladies and gentlemen, just wait a little while. There'll be a horseman come along directly who'll destroy your children completely. Are you willing to give in to the miniskirt crowd and say to the children, just do what you want to do? Then if so, just hang around, and a little later, they'll be along. Do you realize that in many schools today, in high school, a girl cannot be a cheerleader or a majorette unless she's willing to have sexual relations with the boys? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, our schools are intent on tearing down Christian moral and Christian character in behalf of your children. But not only that, the footmen are turned loose against your marriage today. They're dead set on destroying your marriage. You remember when you married Bill or when you married Sue, with what desire you came down the aisle and said, till death shall we live together. But there are many people today don't want your marriage to stay together. There are many footmen turned loose against your marriage. There are many of you, no doubt today, that in the middle of every day, you watch the edge of night as the world turns, the hospital report. You wouldn't miss it for anything. Those programs are dead set to destroy your home. They are designed to bring suspicion towards you and your husband. And they do that. First time Bill's home comes home from work late, you say, yes, I know why you were late. You did what I saw on hospital report today. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the television is running against your home. Not only that, unscrupulous men and women are deciding to destroy the homes of America today. The lady who was responsible for getting Bible reading and prayer out of our public school, she said, I will engage in sexual activity with any consenting male, any time and any place I blank well please. In a revival meeting in the state of Tennessee some months back, there was a man who left his wife at home, came by the Dairy Queen, picked up another woman, came on to the meeting, took off that night, dropped the woman off, and went back to his own house. I found out about it, and the next night I preached on running off with somebody else's heifer. I tell that to say this. Men are not having any scruples today. They leave their wife at home, get somebody else, and think it's all right. Many conventions today, as you go off, they say, we'll provide for you. You need water, so we'll provide it. You need food, so we'll provide it. You need a place to spend the night, we've provided it. You need sex, so we provided the girls. But, ladies and gentlemen, God still says man is to have one woman and one wife and to live with her till death do we part. But I'm talking about the footmen today that are trying to break up your marriage. Are you willing for the footmen to run your marriage down? Are you willing for them to destroy your marriage? Not only that, there are footmen turned loose against your church today. They are dead set in destroying your church. They have no interest in your church. I wonder what your church means to you. I'll tell you what it means to me. It's that place in Bethel Baptist Church, Sycamore, Georgia, in Tuesday morning of revival meeting in 1940, where I found Jesus precious to my heart. My friend, God ordained the church to be the instrument to get the message of Christ out, and that's its responsibility today. You remember when you was first saved, how you could hardly wait to go to the church. What's happened to you now? I tell you, some footmen have done trod you down. There are some of you every Monday morning when you go to the job. Somebody says, where'd you go yesterday? Oh, I went to church. You went where? I went to church. Oh, come here, Bill. Listen to old Joe. He had to go to church yesterday. Was something bothering your conscience? Was there something that you done wrong last week? The footmen on Monday morning are running down those that go to church on Sunday and Sunday night. My friend, if you take out on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, there'll be multitudes that'll take out with you. Multitudes who'll say, yes, you ought to. That's right. The church is not doing what it ought to do. And if I was you, I'd quit. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the footmen are turned loose against the church. Footmen such as entertainers, such as Ed Sullivan on Sunday night, who has been in competition with Jesus for 20 years. There are some people more acquainted with Ed Sullivan than they are with Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, preacher, it's anybody's business to have what they want on Sunday night. It's not so. Since the beginning of time, God's had one day out of seven to meet with his people on the Lord's day, in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the day, in the morning and the evening, in the tabernacle of morning and evening sacrifice. In the New Testament, it was morning and evening, and it's still that way. But outside competition is running for the church today. They're trying to tell you there's no need to go to church except once in a while. How many of you have quit your church? How many of you have said, I won't go anymore? I'm tired. I just must have this day to rest. You've got all kind of internal footmen running against your church today, telling you, yes, you've been so busy all week, you need to rest on Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're taking out on God now, what will you do when the horses start turning loose against you? You say, well, preacher, I think I've served my time. I've been a teacher for 5 years. I've been a worker for 7 years. I've served my time. Many folks serving in the church today as if it were chain gang, as if it were a prison sentence. My friend, what will you do in heaven? The Bible said we serve him there forever. If you can't serve 40, 50 years down here, what'll it be up yonder? Have you stopped giving your money to your church? Have you stopped going regularly? Have you stopped being faithful to your church? Have you said, well, I'll just not go like I once went. I'm going to take it easy now. Then, my friend, you need to see some horsemen that are running loose against your church. Some horsemen that'll run your church down, that don't love your church, that are a whole lot stronger than these footmen that are turned loose against you. And they will destroy the church. They will bring it to shackles. They'll put it in chains simply because you and I are not willing to run against the footmen. Oh, if you've not seen the footmen that I'm talked about, you know today that they are running rampant. But we haven't yet seen what we shall see. God said, Jeremiah, I want to show you something. Jeremiah, it's not been as bad as it shall be. And I want you to see today that if you're letting your children go to the world, and letting the world have your home, and letting the world have your church, then within the next 4 or 5 years, you'll not have any church to go to. You'll not have any home to go to. You'll not have any children around you. May God help you today to see the tragedy of this hour of not standing firmly against the footman and trying to come to God and saying, Lord, let up. Let the pressure up on me. You need to be back in your church. You need to be serving God, knowing that if you continue at the present rate, that you'll find your church completely turned aside. And there are horsemen in the world today that are dead set on running your church down. I'm talking about none other than the communists themselves. They already control 1 billion people. Already, for every boy that's learning anything about Jesus, there are 5 learning things about godless atheism. May God help you to see the danger and to turn back while there is still time.